This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast.
Really, when you're looking to invest in a passive investment, especially in a passive investment, you know, you're really wanting to make sure that the operators are well established. They know what they're doing. They have a good track record. They're people that you know, like, and trust, you know, because regardless of whatever the numbers are going to be, if the person that you're investing with doesn't have that trust factor for you and that likability and that confidence, you know, no matter what you do, it's going to be difficult to want to invest with them and to place your hard-earned money with an operator that you don't trust.
You're listening to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast, where we discuss tangible tips, tricks, and best practices for becoming financially free. The show is designed for people who want to either start real estate investing or for those who want to scale their real estate business.
This episode is sponsored by Infinite Road Destinations, the smartest short-term rental property management group I know, and the group that manages my properties. This is a company that's very close to my heart, run by two of the smartest, most attentive people I know, Claire Rosenberg and Alex Brashears. Claire and I first met when we worked together at NetApp, where she was a top performer and rose crazy fast in the company. And Alex is just one of the most active, genuine people I know in the real estate space. The two of them together bring a blended background of project management, software design, and extensive experience with automation tools and virtual assistants. Through these experiences, they optimize any property to deliver a hands-off experience to owners while delivering the highest occupancy and highest daily rates possible. You guys know I would not recommend anything to anyone in this group that I do not fully endorse or think that is the absolute best product, and this company is that. And like I said before, this is the exact company and people that manage my Airbnbs. If you don't believe me, here are a few of the other tools and services that come along with the team. Listing optimization, guest support and approval, communication and reservations, key exchange and management, dynamic pricing, welcome kit creation, listing advertising and marketing, vendor management, including cleaners, maintenance, handyman, runners, and monthly property reports. To learn more, check out shorttermmadeeasy.com or email info@shorttermmadeeasy.com. And on the form, just mention that you heard it here or mention my name. So give it a try. You have nothing to lose and they offer a satisfaction guarantee. And I assure you guys, you will not be disappointed.
All right, everyone. Another great episode. We had Eileen Prack on the podcast today. And a little bit about Eileen. She has passively invested over 650 doors, interviewed over 200 real estate professionals on her podcast. Always so fun to interview other people of podcasts. I personally like to be more on the guest side than the host. And it was funny, she likes to be on the host versus the guest. She's the mother of two incredible kids. She has a background in finance in the aerospace industry. She started in multifamily by passively investing in other people's deals. She's gotten involved in self-storage. Now her and her husband are focused on the management piece. Super cool episode. We don't get too much into self-storage from other people. So definitely wanted to dive into that with her. Different strategy than the typical burr or flip or buy and hold, whatever it might be. So it's cool to learn more about self-storage and how you can passively invest in that. And then just how she balances the having kids and working with her husband and being in that business relationship. So super excited for you guys to take a listen. And without any further ado, Eileen Prack. All right. Well, Eileen, welcome to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Claire.
Yeah, of course. And we were just kind of talking at the beginning before we hit record and letting you know, this is a new thing that we're doing of me interviewing women and John interviewing men and just really getting more women on the show. There's not enough women real estate investors. We want to encourage other people to get involved. So super excited for our listeners to hear your story. If you can just start with giving us a background of who Eileen is, where you're from, and tell us about your real estate background. And then from there, we'll kind of dive into your real estate and unpack anything. Okay.
Sure. No, that sounds great. Thanks. So I have been born and raised in Southern California. So I live down in Orange County. I have a background in aerospace finance, and I moved out to Boston for a couple of years to get my MBA. did not like the snow, so hurried and rushed back to California as soon as I could. And then I'm a mom of two also. So I have two little ones right now. They're about 2.5 and about 6 months old. So that's been quite a journey, a different stage in life for me, but it's been really fun having them in my life and seeing them grow. On the real estate side of things, I've invested passively in multifamily syndications. That's kind of where my focus is in multifamily. I've also done some single family housing and also some self-storage. And then now I am focused on the management side of, on the operator side of things for multifamily as well right now. So that's kind of where my background is.
Totally. And it seems like the common theme, we have a ton of women doing multifamily syndication. And I'm really curious, we haven't talked so much about self-storage. So can you dive into what interests you into self-storage and what your involvement is with it and like what the day-to-day is? We just don't hear about self-storage so much.
Sure. So when we started off, we got started first in multifamily syndications. And then, you know, as we're getting into real estate, a lot of times, you know, people say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And so as we're exploring everything, we wanted to get our hands a little bit wet. And we kept hearing about self-storage and what a great asset class it is. You know, you're not dealing with a lot of tenants or anything like that. You're not dealing with like the like water and like the typical things that you would get from the apartments and a multifamily space of things. So we're like, okay, that's kind of interesting. Let's invest passively in a deal first and kind of see what it is, because we know it's a pretty stable asset class. Not a lot of people really are into it yet. I feel like it's a lot, especially now it's becoming more up and coming. A lot of people are getting more and more exposed to self-storage. So that's kind of where we started off with, was doing passively investing in the self-storage. And then, you know, it was just more of like, let's just try it out. Let's get our feet wet and everything like that. Mm-hmm. See how it is. And it's been really great so far. You know, there's a lot of different ways that they can add value to it and everything like that, that you don't really think of necessarily. It's not like the normal things that you think about when you're like renting the apartment side of things. So
yeah, no, that's a good point. It's like you're not getting the call at 2 a.m. Oh, you know, the toilet's clogged, right? So, and it is definitely more passive, especially if people don't want to be more hands-on. So I guess I'm kind of curious, you did mention that there are some value-add opportunities. So what are some of those value-add opportunities for self-storage? What does that look like?
So there's some things that they are able to do, you know, by creating value in self-storage. They can, you know, the parking lots, they're able to rent those out to different like U-Hauls and create like different spaces for that. Sometimes there's like a unit on there that they've rented out to like the property manager that they can, that's a vacant unit that they convert over to like a self-storage. You know, you can put like cell phone towers there, rent out a piece of the lot and create a cell phone tower there as well, you know, and then just get that additional income from the cell phone towers companies. And then also, you know, like when you're looking at it, you're basically undervalued, or when you buy, you kind of buy it at the lower price for the self-storage. And then so at the market value, you know, you're able to increase the rents if it's at the lower market rates and everything like that. So there's like different ways that you can do it by adding value to the self-storage.
Yeah, no, it's funny because we're always like, oh, should we add granite countertops? You know, we don't think about like adding like cell towers. So I guess like, you know, typical people are, you know, doing the BRRRR strategy or buy and hold. How does, if someone wants to get in self-storage today, we're super big on being tangible and walking away with the steps to take. So kind of from beginning to end, someone's looking to get into self-storage. What does that look like? What does that process look like?
So first, you know, I think especially if it's going to be like you're looking to do it passively, one of the biggest things is, you know, really looking at the operator and what kind of experience they have in the self-storage space and what kind of, you know, business plan that they're having in place. Because really when you're looking to invest in a passive investment, you know, you're really wanting to make sure that the operators are well-established. They know what they're doing. They have a good track record. They're people that you know, like, and trust, you know, because regardless of whatever the numbers are going to be, if the person that you're investing with doesn't have that trust factor for you and that likability and that confidence, you know, no matter what you do, it's going to be difficult to want to invest with them and to place your hard-earned money with an operator that you don't trust. So really just deep diving into that trustability, likability factor. And then like with your gut feeling, I think that it's like one of the biggest things that we should be focusing on when looking to get started with any asset class.
Totally. And I think you bring up a great point. It's your team that's going to make you successful. Likeability, you can trust them, especially passively. If the person's not expecting you to do anything, you know, if they want to sit on the beach all day, or, you know, about being passive is doing the things that you want and not having your time control you, traveling, spending time with family, whatever it might be, that you want to make sure that you have a good team in place. That's, you know, that's what's going to make it be successful. I'd love to kind of switch gears. You're focusing on the management operations. Can you kind of delve into what that entails and what that focus is?
Sure. So it's really between me and my husband at this point. What we're doing is looking at the acquisition side of things, and also focusing on like, you know, we also do our podcast. So building out our thought leadership platform, providing value to those people who are looking to get some more information in the space. And so if like from the acquisition standpoint, you know, like underwriting properties, looking and making sure that, you know, they're true value add properties where things are maybe like not managed correctly, you know, or there's room to increase the rents, and then also the places to increase the you know, increasing the residents' experience and everything like that by adding like different dog parks, different like opportunities to create value in those multifamily spaces is what we're kind of like focused on right now in emerging markets.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And I guess, how did you get into that? And what would you say is the biggest challenge with underwriting, understanding what is going to be a great value add opportunity to increase rents?
So are you asking why did we get into like the management side of things or the multifamily
Correct.
Side of things?
Into the management side.
Sure. So for us, it was more of a passion thing. It kind of evolved over time. When we started with multifamily, in real estate investing in general, it was more of a way to create passive income for ourselves. And the more we learned about the space that we're in, the more and more it became a passion that we really liked doing. You know, the people that we're meeting, the impact that you're able to have across, you know, not just your team, but like the residents, the other members of the people that you're working with, you know, the property managers, the lenders, everybody that you're touching, you can have an impact in all these places. And so for us, that's kind of why we decided to go into the more active space of things, because we wanted to be part of that impact and be able to create those values to the people that we're able to work with and get the opportunity to work with. And so it's just been a really fun experience for us. And so, that's why we've decided to kind of go more in the active side of things, just because, mm-hmm. you know, we really enjoy this space. We really love the people that are in the space as well.
Totally. Yeah. I always think it's different because people are, you know, the financial freedom and the buzzword of passive income, but you've kind of recognized the impact of what you guys can do when you are more involved. You know, of course, you know, we're going to diversify and have some passive stuff, but you guys have recognized that you do enjoy being more involved and that you can make a difference. Is there any kind of like as you've gotten more involved, you were on the passive side before, you recognized that you had a passion, anything that really surprised you when you kind of got in there and were more involved of like why things were happening a certain way?
Well, for one thing, it's a lot more work and there's so many things to touch and so many things to remember. And so that's why they say with real estate investing, especially, it's more of a team sport. You can't do this all on your own. And so you're building up strong team members around you and surrounding yourself with those people that you like and the people that you have complementary skill sets with everything like that. So really, it's a really a journey of finding yourself and finding, you know, finding other people that you really like to work with also, that has been kind of like the biggest piece of things. And you know, because it's so much and it can be kind of overwhelming sometimes, you know, you kind of have to go back to like, why am I doing this? Like, why do I want to get into this active space? You know, there's so many things that, you know, that you can be overwhelmed and be stressful by. But then if you're like really focusing on and remembering like why you're doing it, you kind of like focus on that, and then it keeps you motivated to kind of keep moving forward. And so that's what was like kind of the biggest thing that we kind of realized as we were going into this side of things.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely, getting back to why am I doing this? Because there's a lot of highs, but the lows can be underground. You can't even see them, right? And it could be very, very stressful, and you have to stay organized and understanding, you know, for me, delegation, I've gotten better with it, but you know, it's hard to trust someone, but you know, there's too many things that need to be done. Everyone has different strengths, and you know, things need to be done in an effective way. So I guess, what are the systems that like you guys use to stay organized, and has delegation was that, or at the beginning, or is that something that you guys struggle with or did?
Yeah, especially in the very beginning, the systems was one of the biggest things that we had to focus on, and making sure that we were running at a more optimized level. One of the biggest things also was task delegation and the role dividing between my husband and myself, you know, who's going to be doing what. And, you know, as we were looking at improving and creating our efficient systems, we had to decide who was going to take what part of this real estate investing side and who's going to be taking what part, you know, like, and really defining those roles and responsibilities. And then from there, we were able to create a process that was a little bit more automated. And then, you know, if we're able to focus on like our specific, like, areas, it has been able to create more efficiencies for us, and we're being able to focus more on those pieces of things. And so then that's why it's like, as we're evolving, you know, over time, our systems, we continuously evaluate them and trying to improve them all the time. One of the things that we're utilizing a lot right now too, from a system side, is like Asana and project management, and really putting those into place and really outlining what needs to get done. And then by putting those into a picture form, it makes things a lot more straightforward, and you're able to focus a little bit more. And so it's been one of the really great things that we've been kind of like implementing as well.
Yeah, totally. I think it all kind of starts with your systems, and I'm glad you brought up Asana. We're big Notion fans. We probably dabbled with Asana, and it was a great tool, but we kind of stuck on Notion. But I think as long as you kind of lay everything out, it becomes more manageable. And I am curious to kind of learn about, you know, getting into a business with family. So obviously you and your husband are in a business together. What would you say to people about getting into business with their family? Like, what are the positive things? What are the tough times, just to kind of like look out for?
Well, you learn a lot about whatever you're going to go to business with, you know?
Yeah.
Like they say, once you get into a partnership where you start to work with other team members, sometimes it can be like a marriage, you know? So you're stuck with them for like several years, you know, and you don't want to end up in a divorce or anything like that. And so just having that really clear communication and having those strong and clear defining roles and responsibilities has been one of the biggest improvements and one of the biggest like things that we had to face and that we've implemented that has helped us tremendously by working together. And then the other thing also is, you know, sometimes the lines can get blurred when you're working with a family member. You know, emotions get involved in there. And so one of the things that me and my husband have to do now is sometimes when we're talking about the business or if we're talking about our personal lives, we have to tell each other, I'm wearing my wife hat or I'm wearing my business hat, you know, and then when you're in that moment and then you define what role that you're playing in right now, it kind of sets the tone for the meeting and the conversation you're having. So there's no feelings that are hurt because you know that you're only focused on the business side of it. It's not anything personal.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up because I think you really do, especially since you guys are family, you have to compartmentalize, you know, in a weird way. It's like, here's my wife hat and here's my business hat, because in business, there are so many things that are going to happen things can get heated, right? And business is business, and it's important not to take it personally. But if we don't compartmentalize it, like what you're saying, it can be really difficult. We're going to take it personally because we're family, you know? So I think that's definitely, that's definitely a strength that you have. Not all people have that, but you have to in order to survive, I would say. And going off of that, you know, you mentioned that you have two daughters that you're raising. How are you guys, you're in this business together. You have to put your wife hat on, your business hat. How are you doing with the work-life balance? And Yeah.
So we have a son, and a daughter.
Oh, okay. So, sorry.
No problem. It's been a big challenge also to, you know, balance your time because they're very little. And so they do take up a lot of time that's a lot of precious time that you don't want to miss spending with them by focusing on just the business. And you know, they're only at this small age for such a short period of time, and that you want to enjoy like every moment of it. And so one of the things that we had to kind of learn also was, you know, when we're focused, when we're with the kids, we have to be 100% focused with the kids. You know, our mind can't be wandering. We can't be thinking about like the business or whatever like that, you know, like really just enjoy that time and spend it with them. And then commit to it. You know, we don't want to miss any of the moments that we have with them, because it's not that long that we get while they're at this stage. So we constantly have to remind ourselves, like, be in the moment, be present for them while we're spending time with them. And so it's just a constant reminder to ourselves as we're spending time with them to like be there.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you bring up a good point that we're only going to be at this age for a certain amount of time, and the time is precious. And I think a lot of us, especially with everything being on our phone, if we have, you know, an Android, an iPhone, whatever smartphone we have, everything is there at our fingertips. And so you guys have identified that we need to fully be with the kids and fully be with the family time. So I'm curious to understand, what sort of boundaries have you guys set with yourself of work and personal? Or in being with the family.
Yeah. So sometimes that boundary kind of gets blurred, you know, yeah. As you're in the whirlwind of trying to balance everything in your life, you know? And so it's just an open communication that we kind of have to have with each other. It's like, sometimes, you know, if you're overworked or something like that, you just have to have that communication, because you don't want to be taking it out on, you know, on each other or like taking it on the family or anything like that. And so just having those conversations and that open communication constantly helps by creating those, like what you mentioned, those boundaries and everything mm-hmm. like that. And then, you know, we have like set times where, like on the weekends, you know, like we have morning times are just with the kids, you know, and then when they're taking a nap time, that's when we can look at and do other things. And sometimes, you know, if we're in a time crunch, one of us has to go ahead and take care of the kids and then spend the time with them while the other one can focus on whatever needs to get done in the business side of things. So we really have to just have that open conversation and really just step in when the other person needs it. And I think it just goes back to having that open conversation and just letting the other person know when you need that help.
Right. I need help. Give me some help. Yeah. I need an extra hand here. Totally. And as we're kind of winding down here, what does the, you know, it's 2021, hopefully COVID seems to be kind of behind us, hopefully. What does the rest of 2021 look like for you guys?
So the rest of 2021 is really going to be defining and making our systems more efficient so that we're able to continue to grow and to be able to provide value to other people. We're also looking to grow our podcast, increase the number of interviews that we have with other real estate professionals as well. And then also hopefully we're able to provide more opportunities to the people around us by, having more deals and investing in those as well.
Yeah. So it seems like you guys got a fun-filled, packed year for you guys. And amazing that you have a podcast as well. I'd love to get into how we can help promote all the amazing things that you're doing, if you want to announce it for our listeners.
Sure. If they want to check out the podcast, it's called How Did They Do It Real Estate. So we're on all the major platforms on iTunes, Spotify. You can find us on there.
perfect in anything in terms of business wise. If another question sometimes we like to ask, if someone was reaching out, it's all about value add over value ask. So is there anything in your business right now that if someone reached out, would be great for them to help out and learn and get more involved in real estate?
Sure. If they're looking to get started in passive investments in real estate, me and my husband put together a due diligence checklist that we've used also when we've been evaluating deals. So they can go ahead and download that for a free copy. Just go to our website, bonavestcapital.com, and you can just download a free copy.
Perfect. Yes. Always like to kind of promote what our guests are doing and get more people involved. And let's get always looking for more listeners, right? And sharing your voice. And what's the best way for people to connect with you?
Sure. They can, like I said, go ahead and visit the website, or they can just email directly at eileen@bonavestcapital.com.
Perfect. Wonderful. And is this a virtual background, by the way?
Yes.
Or is that your house? Because it's beautiful.
Thank you. Okay. I wish.
Because I know like California is very open. So with the windows and whatnot. And kind of as we're last thing, any closing thoughts for our listeners you want to leave them with?
Yeah. So really, if you're looking to go ahead and start your investing journey or anything like that, just really trust your gut. I think that has served us very well and when we're looking to do other investments or looking to invest in a new deal or anything like that. It's, if you're having a gut feeling about something's off, follow that gut. There's always going to be a new deal. There's always going to be a deal. So don't be afraid to walk away from a bad one.
Yeah, especially, this real estate market is ruthless. So I feel like a lot of people are kind of just going into it because they don't know if the deal is going to be accepted and there's 50 offers and whatnot, but definitely great advice. Don't go into it. If you have a weird gut feeling, you're probably right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Claire.
Thanks.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.